Howdy, Greg Swan here from selfadoration.com. I wrote a book called Man Alive, A Survival Manual for the Human Mind, and I take time on Sundays to talk about it. Lately, I've been talking on Spreecast during the week, and I like that Spreecast interface, but I like doing these kind of talks in iMovie. It's, I think, extremely intimate. Extremely visceral, gut to gut, blood to blood. I feel like I can talk to you directly, one-on-one, as if I were talking to you on the telephone, as if I were talking to you in person, and maybe kind of get you to let me into your head a little bit. And I will warn you that if you do, I plan to stay. Kathleen and I, my wife, and I have talked lately about an idea that is very troubling to me, frankly. Troubling to me when I hear it from the outside world, and at the same time very comforting and very validating for me when I think about it my way. And I honestly don't know what name to give this. I mean, the names we give for this phenomenon are simultaneously pejorative and uninformative. And so you might call it arrogance or hubris, the word that I love. I love the word hubris. Pride, overweening pride. People use the expression full of himself with me all the time, which I think is, I mean, what could be a greater compliment? From my point of view, the self is the cardinal value of human life, necessarily, unavoidably. This is one of the key arguments in Man Alive, is that the self is unavoidably the cardinal value of human life. And my opinion is that self-adoration is the cardinal virtue of a human life, that virtue consists of your acts of self-adoration, the things that you do that result in your loving yourself more in the instant moment and enduringly thereafter. And so for someone to say to me that I'm full of myself, I think is, oh my God, that's exactly what I was aiming for. That's terrific. I deeply appreciate that evaluation. I am very grateful to you for saying it. And yet at the same time, the fact that people do say that or that they consider that an insult or a criticism is deeply disturbing to me, is very troubling to me, because it illustrates the success that other people have had at making war on your mind. That if you feel that it's necessary for you to put on a display of humility for other people, then basically your argument is that those other people are holding you hostage, that your faked display of humility is your ransom, the ransom that you're paying for permission to exist. And I find that really deeply offensive. And it happens that today, Chapter 3, Father Tongue and Mother Tongue, are up on freetheanimal.com. Richard Nicolai at freetheanimal.com has been publishing chapters of Man Alive on a weekly basis, and this week's chapter is Chapter 3, Father Tongue and Mother Tongue. And one of the things that I talk about in that particular chapter is the fact that other organisms are perfect the way they are, that it's common in the social sciences and biological sciences to the dancing bear fallacy as discussed in Chapter 2, to argue that either that other animals exhibit characteristics that are like human conceptual ability, or that human conceptual ability is like the way that animals behave. But either way, the attempt is not, frankly, not to aggrandize other animals, not to elevate them, but to denigrate you, to denigrate your mind in the way it is. Then you need to read Chapter 3 in order to understand the distinction that I'm making between Father Tongue and Mother Tongue, because it's not something that I feel comfortable going through on a video. But it's interesting for me to think about animals, because I've been playing the guitar too much and my fingers are, I have calluses all over my fingers so they catch on the strings. It's interesting for me to think about animals because normal animals, animals that are living a life appropriate to their nature, exhibit all of those characteristics that we deride when we say that someone is arrogant or full of himself or is displaying hubris or is too prideful. All of the criticisms that we would offer up to people for being too good at being a self, we would never think to make those criticisms of a dog or a cat or a bear or a mountain lion. These animals, I think if you picture the way that a lion moves, a lion just stalks the earth, and he's so confident, he's so full of pride, so arrogant, and so supremely competent. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the lion isn't aware of his competence, but he doesn't have to be aware of his competence because it's not in his nature, but it is in his nature to express that kind of confidence, that kind of competence, that kind of successful adaptation to his environment, his supreme skill at staying alive, at solving the problem of survival. And if we see a dog that is humble in the way that we claim we want to see people express humility, if we see a dog making those kinds of self-effacing expressions, we immediately assume that the dog has been abused. Abused, beaten, maltreated. That a normal dog is confident, walks around in full confidence, pokes its nose into anything, is not at all shy, is not at all retiring. There's a cat caterwauling here, which is what cats do. Well-raised cats have to yell at the world. And it's completely appropriate for a dog to behave that way, and we like it. We take delight in it. We take delight in children when they behave that way. But when children master father tongue, when they become self-aware human beings, that's the point at which we start beating into them this idea that they have to be pretend humble. They have to fake humility. They have to, that it's inappropriate for them to take pride in their accomplishments, to delight in their competence. And then if they do, then we criticize them. Oh my God, that child is so full of himself. He's so arrogant. Someone ought to put him in his place. Someone ought to cut him down to size. How sick is that? How awful is that? And if we cut a dog down to size, what are we doing? We are beating that dog. We are abusing that dog. And why would we regard it as being some kind of appropriate behavior to abuse children, to abuse adults, to deride and criticize and spit on people for behaving in a way that would be completely appropriate for any other mammal? This is how sick our culture is. And I feel like I'm failing to communicate my own message, the message that I'm trying to transmit through Man Alive. I feel like I'm failing to communicate that message because anyone could read that book and say, oh my God, that Greg Swan is so full of himself. How could you finish that book and think that that would be anything other than a compliment to me? Anything other than a compliment to anyone? And certainly, this is what I'm eager to see in other people. I want for you to feel about yourself the way that any normal, healthy dog feels about himself, even though he can't be consciously aware of his feelings. Nevertheless, he expresses that attitude in everything that he does, and I would love to see you doing that, and I don't see any reason why you shouldn't do that. And I don't see any reason why anyone should argue that you should behave any other way. And when you hear people making those arguments, you need to listen to what they say. Frankly, my attitude is you should interrogate them. You should say, why would you consider that appropriate? Would you consider that appropriate if you saw that kind of behavior in a horse? Is that what you want? If you were shopping for a horse and you were getting ready to part with $3,000 to buy yourself a high school horse that you could, you know, train on, you could train the horse and you could train on the horse to learn how to do better at dressage or steeplechase or whatever it is that you're buying that horse for, would you be looking for the horse who exhibits humility, who looks like he's been beaten and looks like he expects to be beaten? Is that what you're looking for in a horse? Is that what you're looking for in a dog? When you go shopping for puppies, do you hunt for the one who is self-effacing and self-abnegating, self-destroying. You want the one who will be afraid of you, will be afraid of everyone, will be afraid to interact with anyone, or who, you know, frankly, dogs that get beaten enough turn mean. Do you want the mean one? Is that what you're looking for when you're ready to part with $300 to buy a puppy? Why would you want to see that kind of behavior in your children? Why would you want to see that kind of behavior in your loved ones? Why would you want to see that kind of behavior in yourself? And, you know, obviously the counter argument to this is going to be, well, that's just egotism. You just fool yourself. You're just making false claims. No, I don't believe in making false claims. I don't believe in telling lies at all, especially, I mean, if you want to insist that there's something venal, something bad about making a false claim to virtue, well, I'll agree with you. That is completely inappropriate, but telling lies about your virtues, not by inflating them, but by deflating them, how could that not be the same thing? It's equally deceptive. It's equally a lie. And the worst part, I guess it is worse, because if you're telling lies about yourself, delivering false ideas about your inflated virtues, that will leave you feeling worse about yourself going forward. But lying about yourself in such a way that you don't lay claim, don't lay credit to your actual virtues, your actual talents, your actual accomplishments, that certainly has to make you feel much worse. And self-adoration is all about feeling better about yourself. That's what it's all about. It's all about doing better and, as a consequence of doing better, being better as you go forward. And you do better, you are better, you become better by behaving better. And part of good behavior, as far as I'm concerned, is being honest about your good behavior. And it doesn't mean being a braggart, and it doesn't mean blowing your own horn, and it doesn't mean, you know, making claims about yourself, even truthful claims about yourself, out of turn, out of school, when they're not appropriate. But if someone says, are you a deep thinker? Someone asked me that question. Are you a deep thinker? I believe I am, and I believe I can support it, and I believe I've provided plenty of evidence to support that claim. And whether you agree with it or not, I do not care. Because I'm going to live the way I choose to live, and part of the way I choose to live is not to tell lies about myself, not to tell lies about my actual accomplishments. Am I a good guitar player? Nope. No, I am getting better, which is a truthful statement, but I am getting better slowly to the extent that I might have to live for 350 years or so before I'm a good guitar player. But I am not a good guitar player, and I don't make that claim. I like to play the guitar. I enjoy it. I enjoy it the way I'm doing it right now. I can do this forever. I can talk forever and just play through these chord sequences and accompany myself and do it in such a way that I am happy with what I'm doing. But if you offered to pay me to play the guitar, I would laugh at you. And even if I took your money, I wouldn't think you were spending your money wisely or well. And that's all a matter of being truthful. And my attitude is that if you are faking humility, if you are lying about who you are, what you can do, what you have done in the past, what you plan to do in the future, how you feel about your life, if you're lying about that, if you've habituated lies about that, you need to change that behavior. Because it's not good for you. It is not good for you. And that's the extent of my talk this week. I deliberately wanted to see if I could finish in 15 minutes or less. I knew I couldn't make 10 minutes, and I don't know that I've probably gone over the limit on YouTube anyway, but I'd like to put this on YouTube if I can. I want to thank you so much for giving me your attention, and I want you to have a great day today and every day. Bless you. Thank you so much.